like Moses, right through the waves. One day I'll see that promised land no longer slaves. Though the fear is talking, no, I can't take out my faith. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I praise the mountain moving body, raising breaker of chains.
Well, as we continue our series, as we walk through the Sermon on the Mount, we want to look at a passage here at the close of this teaching that Jesus taught here in Matthew 7. We're looking at Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. And I want to title this message, A Foundation That Holds. Let me pray for us, and then we'll walk through God's Word. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for who you are and how you guide us and how you walk with us. We thank you for your word. We ask, God, that as we open your word today, that it would speak to us, and that it would encourage our hearts, that it will convict us, that it will help us to grow in you. Lord, we love you. We honor you. It's in the perfect name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you pay close attention, the cracks will tell you a story. If you just drive through Memphis long enough, you'll start to notice them. Sidewalks splitting, driveways cracking, brick walls traced with thin vertical scars, doors that once fit perfectly now refusing to close. These are not cosmetic flaws. They are signs of something deeper. The ground underneath has shifted. The foundation can no longer carry the weight that was placed upon it. And what is true for buildings is also true in our lives. Here's the thing. Nobody brags about a foundation. At a housewarming, no one walks in and says, "Wow, your concrete slab is beautiful." No, we admire countertops and furniture and lighting and paint colors. The visible parts. But none of those details matter if the structure beneath them is vulnerable. Or if the structure underneath them is unstable. You can decorate a weak foundation. You can ignore it for a while. You can even convince yourself everything is fine, but eventually the pressure exposes what is hidden. Foundation may be unseen, but it's never unimportant. It determines whether what you build will endure or slowly break apart under the weight it was never meant to bear. Life works the same way. Many of us excel at polishing the surface, the clothes that we wear, the cars that we drive, the careers that we work in, our credentials and our neighborhoods and our reputations. We curate lives that appear stable and impressive, but if the foundation beneath all of it is weak, time and pressure will expose the fractures. Appearances can conceal instability, but they cannot prevent collapse. The reality is this: everyone in this space, everyone in this room is building something. Maybe you're building a family or a career or a legacy or a sense of stability and meaning. Some are building financial security. Others are building a reputation or a name. Some are simply trying to hold together a life that appears strong on the outside but feels fragile underneath. The question is not whether you are building, the question is, what are you building on? This morning, we are not merely attending a worship service. We are the people of God, formed over generations, shaped by scripture, and united not by preference, not by personality or by background, but by a shared confession of faith. Advent is not built on style, not built on the programs that we put on, not even built on our cultural relevance. Those things can be helpful, but they can't hold us up. If a church is built only on personality, comfort, or familiar traditions, it won't last. But when it's built on Jesus Christ himself, crucified and risen, no cultural shift, no crisis in our city, and no storm in our lives can tear it down. This is the question Jesus presses as he finishes the Sermon on the Mount. He doesn't end with theory or emotion. He ends with a picture. Two builders. Two houses. One storm. Both face the same conditions. Only one stands. Because only one is built on a solid foundation. And his conclusion is unshakable. Only a life built on Jesus will stand when the storm comes. When we look at the people in our church, it's beautiful, not because we are the same, but actually because we are not. Different ages, different cultures, different stories, different paths that have brought us here. Some of you were raised where Sunday morning was a given. Church was not optional. Faith was woven into the fabric of family life. You remember sanctuaries filled with music and voices lifted together, meals shared afterward that stretched well past the afternoon. The rhythms of worship were familiar and formative. Others grew up in spaces where faith was practiced with restraint and reverence, where the silence carried as much weight as the singing, and where belief was shaped slowly, thoughtfully, and over time. And then some of you are here and you did not grow up in church at all. You are still learning the language, still finding your place in the story, and still asking whether this faith can truly bear the weight of real life. Your questions are not a liability here. They are part of the journey. But here's the truth that unites us all. Storms do not discriminate. They do not ask about your background, your upbringing, your neighborhood, or your level of certainty. They come for everyone. For some, the storm is financial, unexpected expenses, rising costs, or security that suddenly feels less secure. For others, it's relational, strained marriages, fractured friendships, families carrying this quiet pain. For some, it's physical. One diagnosis, one phone call, and the ground beneath you shifts. And for all of us, there is the final storm, standing before God himself. If you've lived in Memphis long enough, then you know this is true. We've experienced ice storms that have darkened entire neighborhoods. We've had floods that ignore property lines and test every structure. It never mattered where you live. What mattered was whether your foundation could hold. And that is exactly what Jesus is saying. Storms are inevitable. The only question is this: when they come, what are you standing on? So Jesus doesn't leave us guessing. He doesn't want us walking out with a good feeling but no foundation. At the end of his most famous sermon, he paints a picture we can all see. Two men, two houses, one storm. Both men build, both men hear, both men face the winds and the rain, but only one house stands. Why? Because the difference wasn't in the building, the difference wasn't in the weather, the difference was in the foundation. So let's lean in and hear these words here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And they read like this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is how Jesus closes the Sermon on the Mount. Three chapters of teaching that turned the world upside down. He has shown us what life in his kingdom looks like. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He has taught us how to pray, "Our Father, hallowed be thy name." He has warned us, "Do not lay up treasures for yourself here on earth." He has invited us. He said, "Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness." And now he comes to the end. He doesn't close with a soft lullaby. He doesn't say, "Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it." No, no, no. He closes with a warning, with a picture, with a call to make a decision. Two men, two houses, one storm. And the difference isn't the style of the house. The difference isn't the size of the house. The difference isn't, it's not even the storm. Both face the same wind, the same rain, the same flood. The difference is this: one man dug deep and built on the rock, the other built on shifting sand. Jesus is saying to his listeners, then, and he's telling us now, the question is not, "Did you hear my words?" The question is, "What will you do with them?" And that question leads us directly to the heart of Jesus' teaching. Hearing his words, just hearing, is never enough. Obedience is the true test. So we ought to understand this. Don't just hear his words, live them out. Now, Jesus says here in verses 24 and 25, he says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." The wise man isn't wise because he built a house. Both men built. He isn't wise because he heard Jesus. Both men heard. He's wise because he actually obeyed. He took what he heard and put it into practice. Here's the truth. Hearing without doing is like owning blueprints without building. You can frame them. You can hang them on the wall. You can brag about them to your friends. But until you pick up a hammer and start building, all you've got are pictures and a dream. When Jesus speaks of the rock, he's not pulling this image out of thin air. Throughout the Old Testament, God was called the rock. He was called the rock. He was steady, unmovable, unshakable. He was trustworthy. Deuteronomy 32:4 says this: "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice." Psalm 18:2 says this: "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer." Isaiah 28:16 says this: "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." To build on the rock is to build on God himself. And here Jesus is saying something staggering. My words are that rock. To obey me is to anchor your life in God. It's like going to the doctor and the doctor says your blood pressure is high, or he gives you some diagnosis and he gives you or she gives you a prescription, and you nod your head, you say thank you, you may even take a picture, put it on Instagram and put hashtag health journey. But if you never take the medicine, If you never change the diet, if you never do the work, then nothing changes. Information without action won't save you. That's what Jesus is saying. Coming to church, hearing sermons, nodding your head, and even taking notes, that's not the foundation. The foundation is actual obedience. So let me ask this. Where in your life are you hearing and not doing? You hear Jesus say, forgive, yet you still hold on to bitterness. You hear him say, seek ye first his kingdom, but money still drives your decisions. You hear him say, trust me, but you keep trying to control everything yourself. Jesus isn't calling you to know more. He's calling you to live more. Not perfection, but obedience. Step by step. Brick by brick, choice by choice. The wise man didn't just admire the rock, he actually built on it. And when the storm came, because it always does, his house stood firm. But Jesus doesn't stop with the wise builder. He gives us another man, the foolish builder. And here's the part that should make us lean in. You see, this other man, this foolish builder, wasn't lazy. He wasn't irreligious. He isn't even ignorant. He built a house too. He heard the words of Jesus as well. From the outside, his life probably looked a lot like the wise man. But looks can clearly be deceiving. Sunshine can hide a weak foundation. You can look solid when the skies are clear, but when the storms come, that's when the truth is revealed. So the second and final movement of this text, I need to tell you this. Don't just look strong, actually be strong. Jesus says in verses 26 through 27, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. On the surface, the foolish man's house looked fine. Fresh paint, straight lines. From the curb, you couldn't tell the difference between his house and the wise man's house. But here's the danger. You can look strong in the sunshine and still crumble in a storm. You see, sand is deceptive. It feels firm for a moment, but it shifts under pressure. That's what happens when you hear God's word, but you don't obey. You might stand tall for a season. You might look impressive to others, but when the storm comes, the crack shows and collapse is great. And notice, Jesus doesn't say the fall is small. No, no, he says great was the fall of it. That's not a leaky roof or a crooked wall. That's total collapse. That's devastation. That's everything you built tumbling down because the foundation was never secure. It's like building a sandcastle at the beach. You can spend hours on it, perfecting it, decorating it, building it up, making it beautiful, carving out those little towers. And then people walk by and admire it, say how beautiful it is, how creative you were. And then the tides roll in, the waves swallow it, and all that's left is a puddle. Why? Because sand can't hold against the storm. Some of us are actually building sandcastle lives, placing our hope in careers, in success, in money, in our name, in our reputation, in our relationships. In calm seasons, everything looks secure. But when storms hit, you know, when you lose your job or people leave you or your health starts to decline, the foundation gives way and what once seemed solid begins to collapse under the weight it was never meant to carry. Man, if I could be real with you in this moment, I know what that's like. I've lived through seasons where my life wasn't fully built on the rock. I had pieces that looked good on the outside. People may have thought, may have looked at me and thought that I was strong, I was steady, I was unshakable. But inside, the cracks were spreading. And when the storms came, I experienced collapse. I watched those things I thought would hold me start to crumble. And I realized the hard way, if you don't build your life on Jesus, it won't last. That's why I can't preach this as theory. I know the pain of living on sand, and I know the security of living on the rock. That's why I'm telling you, don't just look strong, you have to be strong. Don't just settle for appearances. You must build on Jesus. Let me ask you this. What's the sand in your life? Is it success? Chasing title after title, chasing raise after raise, thinking that it will bring you security? Maybe it's relationships, building your whole identity on who approves of you or who loves you or who notices you. Is it yourself? Trusting your own strength, your own wisdom, trusting in your own goodness to carry you. Here's the truth. All of it is sand. It may look strong today, but it won't stand tomorrow. And Jesus says, when you build on sand, the fall is not just private, it's public, it's painful, it's great. But the good news is, you don't have to keep on building on sand. The rock is still available. The rock is still strong. The rock is still Jesus. So yes, I know what it's like to build my life on the wrong things, on success, on approval, on even myself. And I know what it's like to watch those things crumble when life hits. But I also know this, that when you build on Jesus, the rock, he will hold you. And on the cross, he stood in the storm of judgment we deserved. In his resurrection, he became the foundation that no storm can move. And this morning, the call isn't try harder. The call is to trust him. Build your life on the rock. For in storms are coming. It's not an if, but when. When the winds of doubt blow, you need a rock. When the rains of suffering fall, you need a rock. When the floods of temptation rises, you need a rock. And when you stand before God one day, you need a rock. And the rock is not money, it's not success. It's not relationships. That rock isn't even you. That rock is Jesus. So don't settle for hearing without obedience. Don't admire Jesus from afar. Build your life on him. For when the storm inevitably comes, and it will, only those rooted in Jesus Christ will stand firm, unshaken, and secure through every trial and testing. So go out and build, not on what feels safe, but on the only foundation that will never fail. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you. We thank you for your word today. Help us to remember to build our lives on you, not on all these other things that may distract us, things that may appear to be good things, but no, Lord, we must build our lives on you. Anything we build, whether it's our own lives, our church, our organizations, our families, our friendships, it all must be built on you. So, Father, help us. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.